Today's reading is taken from the book of Revelation, chapter 12, verse 1, to chapter 13, verse 1. The woman and the dragon. A great and wondrous sign appeared in heaven. A woman, clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head. She was pregnant and cried out in pain as she was about to give birth. Then another sign appeared in heaven. An enormous red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on his heads. His tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky and flung them to the earth. The dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth, so that he might devour her child the moment it was born. She gave birth to a son, a male child, who will rule all the nations with an iron scepter. And her child was snatched up to God and to his throne. The woman fled into the desert to a place prepared for her by God, where she might be taken care of for 1,260 days. And there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth, and his angels with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, "Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God, and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Therefore rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury, because he knows that his time is short." When the dragon saw that he had been hurled to the earth, he persuaded the woman who had given birth to the male child. The woman was given the 2 wings of a great eagle, so that she might fly to the place prepared for her in the desert, where she would be taken care of for a time, times and a half time, out of the serpent's reach. Then from his mouth the serpent spewed water like a river, to overtake the woman and sweep her away with the torrent. But the earth helped the woman by opening its mouth and swallowing the river that the dragon had spewed out of its mouth. Then the dragon was enraged at the woman, and went off to make war against the rest of her offspring, those who obey God's commandments, and hold to the testimony of Jesus. And the dragon stood on the shore of the sea. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. There you are. Did you see what I did there? Let us pray. So, Father God, be with us now as we read these words together and reflect upon them. And by the Holy Spirit, Lord, may we hear you speak. May we hear your voice, and in all things, Father God, may we trust and obey. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I have a problem. I am an intellectual. But at the same time, I'm not very clever. These are the words of a childhood hero of mine. These are the words of Adrian Mole, aged 13 and 3/4, recorded in his diary. One of the many examples of the wit and wisdom, or otherwise, of Adrian Mole. And if you've read those books, you'll know that Adrian, he's actually rather naive. Not surprising, perhaps, in somebody who's 13 years old when the series begins. And he believes himself to be clever, more or less realistically. And he believes that he deserves something better. Better than the life in his slightly nondescript Midlands town equips him for. He's naive and he thinks that he's clever, and he thinks he deserves a bit better than he's got. He puts some of his failure down to living in a cul-de-sac. I'm not sure that's the best explanation. Well, this book that we're reading, this Bible, it's got 1,189 chapters. I haven't I haven't counted them end to end, but this is what it tells me on the internet. It probably would be a fairly easy piece of maths to work it out. It's got 1,189 chapters, and one of those, which kind of puts it into its right perspective, one of those chapters, which is this one, this gives us the secret diary of Satan. Secret Diary of Satan, just one out of 1,189 chapters. And we see that, like Adrian Mole, as we read these verses here, we see that, like Adrian Mole, the devil is actually not nearly as clever as he thinks. He's really not very bright, actually. He keeps on making basic mistakes. Ultimately, he fails. He fails in everything he puts his hand to. It is defeat after defeat after defeat. And our reading today, it's rather a topsy-turvy chapter. It's all jumbled up. It's painting a picture of this combat, this celestial war that's popping up here and it's popping up there. But it starts as it must do, with the God who makes himself known in Christ. And then, of course, with his people. We've read at the end of last week's reading of God appearing. God's presence is here. It said at the end of chapter 11 in verse 19 that God's temple was opened, and within his temple was seen the Ark of the Covenant. That's the sign of God's presence. So God is here. Throughout this reading, God is here. God is in control. And the reading then goes on to tell us about God and about the devil, his adversary. But it is a very unequal fight. This is what it says in our reading today, that a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head. This, friends, is a picture of God's ancient people, Israel. Those 12 stars being the 12 tribes of Israel. So here is God's people under God. But then we meet God's adversary, our accuser. Another sign appeared in heaven, it says in verse 3 of the reading, an enormous red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on its head. Those of us who are lucky enough to have a Welsh heritage buried away somewhere within us, we might have hearts that leap with joy when we read of red dragons, but this is not a kindly dragon. This is not a good dragon. It stood in front of the woman, it says in verse 4, the woman who was about to give birth. We've already been introduced to that in verse 2. And it stood before her, it says, so that it might devour her child the moment he was born. This is fighting talk. For who is this child of Israel? It says in verse 5 that the woman gave birth to a son, a male child, who will rule all the nations with an iron scepter, quotation from Psalm number 2. But the child was snatched up to God and to his throne. So we learn immediately that in this battle between God and Satan, Satan cannot win. His purposes are thwarted. This is a battle he will never recover from. It leads only to defeat. But there have been other battles before Christ came, before Christ's crucifixion and his glorious resurrection from the dead, his ascension when he was snatched back up to God. Battles before, and then battles since. Because how did it begin? Well, our reading tells us of a great primordial battle. A war broke out in heaven, it says in verse 7. And Michael and his angels fought the dragon, and his angels fought back. but he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. So this is Satan's original fall, coming before the events that we read of in our Bible. It says in an old English poem that him, the almighty power, hurled flaming from the ethereal sky with hideous ruin and combustion down. That's what it says in Paradise Lost. And it may have been an almighty power, even the almighty's power, but actually it was Michael and his angels that did it. This is a sign of actually how unpowerful the devil is, that it doesn't even take God acting in person to overthrow him. Just some angels can do it. So this dragon was hurled down, verse 9, the ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to earth, and his angels with him. So in that very first battle in this war between God and the devil, immediately the devil was defeated. And that's the way it will always be. That is the way it always has been. And that is the way it always will be as we look at history until we come to the end. In the war between God and the devil, there will always be only one winner. Well, then in our reading we are going to look some more at Israel and a warning. The woman, this is Israel, remember, the woman fled into the wilderness. This is what it told us in verse 6. She fled into the wilderness to a place prepared for her by God, where she might be taken care of for 1,260 days. And this is reprised in verse 14. The woman was given the two wings of a great eagle so that she might fly to this place prepared for her in the wilderness, where she might be taken care of for a time, times and half a time, out of the serpent's reach. So again, the devil doesn't even get his way against her. She is protected by God. This is a picture, perhaps, of Israel being led out of Egypt, the place of oppression and fear and of death, and then across the waters of the sea and into the wilderness as she makes her journey to the promised land. And there is following one of the songs of Revelation, and it's a song which is not unlike the song of Moses and Miriam in Exodus chapter 15 as they celebrate this redemption they have had from Egypt. I heard a loud voice in heaven say, this is verse 10, "Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Messiah. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters, the devil, the one who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down." The devil defeated again. Well, there then follows a guarantee and a warning. They, God's people, they triumphed over the devil by the blood of the Lamb and by the words of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death, this speaking of the persecution of the people of God. And therefore rejoice. Rejoice, you heavens and you who dwell in them, the people of God being heaven dwellers. But woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury, because he knows that his time is short. And here in these words, friends, there should be a warning. Two warnings. In fact, two different warnings for everyone. Warnings. A warning to the church, and a warning to the world. the warning to the church first of all. Have a look at verse 15. From the serpent's mouth, from the devil's mouth, the serpent spewed water like a river to overtake the woman and sweep her away with the torrent. But the earth, verse 16, the earth helped the woman by opening its mouth and swallowing the river that the dragon had spewed out of its mouth. Then the dragon was enraged at the woman and went off to wage war against the rest of her offspring, who are Israel's offspring, as Jesus Christ, born of Mary, and then the rest of the offspring are his brothers and sisters by faith. That's us, the people of the church. So whatever exactly we understand by these words here, very clearly, it is a warning to the church. And this is what the warning to the church says. The dragon was enraged at the woman and went off to wage war against the rest of her offspring, those who keep God's commands and hold fast to their testimony about Jesus, the church. Suffering will come, the warning says, and it's the suffering of persecution. The suffering of persecution as the dragon makes bitter war against the followers of Jesus Christ, enraged and bitter as he is. Persecution will be the result. Well, plainly, this book was given first to a church which was experiencing great persecution, and it is a word for us today as a church who around the world experience great persecution. And this should be no surprise. Here it says in Scripture that if we follow Jesus, if we obey his commands, if we hold fast to the testimony about Jesus Christ, persecution will come. But remember this. Remember what it said in verse 11 of today's reading, that the people of God triumphed. We triumphed over the devil by the blood of the Lamb, not through anything that we have had to earn. Jesus Christ has done it when he died on the cross, and by the word of our testimony. For we do not love our lives so much, as it says in verse 11, to shrink from death. And this is true for many Christians in the world today, and perhaps one day it will have to be true of us as well. So there's a warning to the church of persecution to come, but also God's promise, he is with us. But there is a second warning here as well, and it's a warning to the world. Verse 12, rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them, the heavenly people of God, that's us. But woe. Woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has come down to you. He is filled with fury because he knows his time is short. So to those who are not redeemed, to those who have not put their faith in Jesus Christ, this reading simply says, watch out. It's an uncompromising message, and it may be awkward to hear, but I'm not making this up. It's what the Bible says here in our reading today. Watch out. If you do not know Jesus Christ, be aware. Be aware of what is to come. So Adrian Mole, who we started with, he has many words of sort of wisdom. One of his phrases is this: I have a problem. I am an intellectual, but at the same time, I am not very clever. This world that we live in, when we look at the world, when we look at so many people in it, the world is naive. The world believes itself to be clever, where frankly the evidence sometimes shows that it's not. And the world believes itself to be better than it is. The world is stuck in a cul-de-sac, you might say. Failed human ambitions, failed human dreams, failed human hopes. And just like Adrian Mole, the devil himself is not very bright. He keeps on making basic mistakes. Ultimately, he fails in everything he does. Defeat after defeat after defeat. Is this not true of the world as well? Because if you walk with the devil, you're going to get walked on. Ultimately, who does the devil have left to turn his anger on but his followers? He can't take it out on God because he's beaten. He can't take it out on the church because in Christ we are triumphant. Who then in the end will be in the firing line? Only his own people, those who follow him. So our message to the world, as always, must be this. Walk with the Lord. Don't walk with the devil, but walk with the Lord and the light of his triumph, saved and redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Friends, that would be a wholly different story. Because the devil is defeated and God is the winner. And if we are with him, if we trust him, if we follow him and let Jesus' cross do the talking, we are winners too. And the devil can do nothing about it. Let us pray. So, Father God, by the power of your Holy Spirit, help us always to walk in the light. Father God, by the power of your Holy Spirit, help us to share the good news, the testimony about Jesus Christ with the people around us. And Father, we long for that day when you come finally to reign, when the devil is finally defeated, cast into the lake of fire, and the God we meet in Jesus Christ, you alone will be all in all. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.